Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've been telling you for some time that there would be a U.S. News & World Report article on Colorado's personhood effort and quoting Brian Rohrbaugh, who is the president of American Right to Life, and the split in the pro-life movement regarding those who regulate child killing and those who are calling for personhood. And so that article is out, and it's called New Abortion Wars, An Age-Old Fight is Heating Up in the States. And I'd like to quote to you from this article, and in a little bit we'll be joined by Steve Curtis, who is the president of American Right to Life Action. That's the 527 group that has ads running right now in South Carolina against Mitt Romney and elsewhere. By the way, you could see their latest South Carolina ad against Mitt at ARTLAction.com. That's for American Right to Life, ARTLAction.com. Okay, so U.S. News and World Report, this article by Brett Schulte, it starts out talking about anti-abortion activists and Christian missionaries Keith Mason and Cal Zastro, that they're sipping coffee in a Starbucks while they're explaining to volunteers their plan to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I'm going to go through this article and read a bit of it to you. We could talk it through. While activists grinding out hours in the local cafe are nothing new, a nascent grassroots movement. Oh, are there any public school teachers tuned in right now? Nascent. That's when something is just being birthed, something brand new. A nascent grassroots movement in the anti-abortion community is recasting an old fight and pushing abortion back to center stage in 2008. Like many morally opposed to abortion, Zastro and Mason are disillusioned by self-described pro-life politicians and powerful advocacy groups like National Right to Life, which have achieved success only in restricting abortion access. Now the two are rolling across the Rockies in a worn Kia station wagon to train volunteers and stoke passion for a petition drive to amend the state constitution. The idea is as simple as it is bold. Now, there's a photo in here of law student Christy Burton, who developed the Colorado Personhood Initiative. So this article in U.S. News & World Report says the idea is as simple as it is bold, developed by a deeply religious 20-year-old law student, Christy Burton. The initiative declares a fertilized egg as a person who enjoys inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. And by the way, this article goes on to do what Planned Parenthood has done here in Colorado. They try to mock the idea of protecting the unborn by talking about a fertilized egg. And they think if they keep using that term, fertilized egg, people will think of, what, chicken eggs, and mock the idea. But of course, that's the point at which you have a complete human being, genetically complete. And Planned Parenthood actually on their website initially mocked this effort as an attempt to protect eggs, rights for eggs, they actually said on their website, which was a lie, and they know that. It's not eggs. It is an embryo. At the moment an ovum is fertilized, you have then a complete 46 chromosomes, one or the other is 23 chromosomes, but you combine the two, 23 plus 23 equals one new human being. And so that's the effort. And so they say that Christy Burton, her initiative declares a fertilized egg to be a person who enjoys inalienable rights, equality of justice, and due process of law. Intended as a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade, the proposed amendment mentions nothing of the implications for banning abortion or some birth control. over opposition from abortion rights supporters. The language sailed through the state Supreme Court on a 7-0 vote, and it is a virtual lock to make the ballot. That's quite an endorsement from U.S. News and World Report for the campaign that's being headed up by Keith Mason. He's the state grassroots coordinator for the campaign. And so this reporter, Brett Schulte of U.S. News and World Report, says, and this is not in quotes, this is his own assessment. I appreciate the encouragement, Brett, from U.S. News and World Report. They're saying that it is a virtual lock, that the personhood amendment is a virtual lock to make the ballot in November. Wow, that's pretty good, and that certainly encourages me, and I hope it encourages you to come out to the March for Life Saturday at 1:30 on the steps of the Capitol. And Cal Zastro, who's also mentioned in this article, he'll be there, and he'll give us a short 3 or 4 minute encouragement about taking these petitions and getting signatures on them. So just joining me in studio is the president of American Right to Life Action, the political 527 group, Steve Curtis. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bob. Sorry I was a little late getting here.
Oh, no, that's all right. I just asked you to come on the show 15 minutes before airtime. So, Steve, I'm excited. I'm going through this U.S. News and World Report article titled New Abortion Wars, An Age-Old Fight is Heating Up in the States. And I thought we'd go through the article, and pretty soon here they're going to quote Brian Rohrbaugh.
I know him.
You know him, right?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
He's the president of American Right to Life, and you and Brian actually switch positions for president and vice president. He's the president of American Right to Life. You're the president of American Right to Life Action.
Right.
And you have more political background, right?
A little bit more, yeah.
A little bit more. It sort of runs in your blood, I think. But you got to get that out of there.
I'm trying to.
Yeah, recovering from being the former state chair of the Colorado Republican Party. So let's continue to go through this. So U.S. News and World Report say that it's a virtual lock, that the personhood amendment in Colorado will make the ballot.
Well, let's pray that they're right on that one.
Yeah, that's right. And we continue to encourage people to get those petitions. And it's so easy to go to a friend and say, could you please sign my petition?
Right. Yeah, it really is. You know, I ran a petition drive back in 1994 statewide, and we didn't have nearly this much time, and we came very close to getting everything we needed. Mm-hmm. I think we gathered 49,000 signatures from startup in 9 weeks' time. So
wow.
With 6 months.
What year was that?
That was 1994.
1994. That was the death penalty initiative.
That was the death penalty initiative, and that's that right. Was that was what I was out talking about when I met you.
You came on this show, Bob
That's
and Yurt
right.
Live,
That's
way
right.
back when. So it's been great knowing you ever since, Steve. So, okay, I'll continue, and you comment
Absolutely.
When you want to
sure.
on this U.S. News and World Report article. So when voters step into the booth next November to select a president, they'll also very likely be voting on whether to thrust Colorado into the newest theater of abortion's long war. The fight is coming to the states, said a spokesman here for NARAL, Pro-Choice Colorado. So, hey, she's got it right. The fight is coming to the states.
Well, and it's about time, because nationalizing it, obviously, it didn't get us anywhere.
No, and National Right to Life back in, like, 25 years ago, the early 80s, 1981, Ronald Reagan was just elected president, and he said with Senator Jesse Helms that he would sign federal personhood legislation to protect the unborn. National Right to Life opposed that with their general counsel, James Bobb. They opposed that and said, no, we want a states' rights approach. And now a quarter century later, National Right to Life opposes state personhood efforts.
Yeah, National Right to Life, and this is going to come as a shock to everybody, except for those that have had to deal with National Right to Life for many, many years. But National Right to Life does not want to end abortion.
They don't.
I mean, that's a bold statement, but they don't.
That's quite a harsh statement. But when you analyze their activity, their fundraising, they receive hundreds of thousands of dollars from the Republican National Committee, which calls into question their loyalty, you know, leading the effort to raise $250 million for the whole pro-life industry on this partial birth abortion ban that never had the possibility of stopping one abortion by the force of that law, that ban, you got to question, what are they doing? They're really good at fundraising.
Well, that point was made clear to them many, many times over the years. I know that as early as the mid and late 90s, when I first started to get active with Colorado Right to Life, Colorado Right to Life kept pointing out to National Right to Life on issue after issue after issue that what they were proposing, the language that they were using, was not truly pro-life. And it never changed their approach or their attitude towards their approach. They were going to keep doing what was being made very clear to them was not going to work. And it didn't work. Mm-hmm. And a decade later, they want to just keep going down that same path, that they're going to support things that keep abortion alive as an issue, which is what they say their intention was, going all the way back to the very early days. In fact, in the latest James Bopp memo, he talks about what wise counsel that was. You notice that he didn't say end abortion. He said keep abortion alive as an issue.
Right.
And that is a very self-serving thing for a cottage industry like the pro-life industry to do. Keep the issue alive, keep yourself employed, and it just goes on and on. And I do call into question whether or not they truly, truly, if they could wave the wand today, put themselves out of business, but end abortion, if they would really do it. And I don't think they would.
Well, let's look at this example. James Bopp, their political architect for 30 years, he is campaigning for Mitt Romney. He just spoke in Michigan to a group of pro-lifers. And you know what happened to him?
I think I read this on the internet.
Eviscerated.
Yes, he did.
Which was great. And here's National Right to Life. By the way, Bob,
was he pro-life or pro-choice at that moment?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep a tally on these things, and you have to keep a timeline going.
Yeah, so National Right to Life, he said, supports his campaigning for Mitt Romney. Now, just to remind the audience, Mitt Romney said this, on every piece of legislation, I came down on the side of life, except in 2006 when he signed the Massachusetts health care reform plan that pays for abortion. Mitt, that's not pro-life.
Well, but the $50 copay, maybe that was the pro-life part.
Maybe. That promotes chemical abortions with Plan B. And he gave a permanent seat on the Massachusetts Health Advisory Board to the nation's leading abortionist, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah,
that's pro-life?
Yeah, he is among those very elite group of very despicable politicians. At least Rudy Giuliani, is open and honest about his disdain for life.
Yeah,
but
right.
Mitt Romney thinks that this is that it's acceptable to use it as a political tool.
Yeah, which is despicable. He did this. He disputed a ruling from his own state health department. Romney personally argued that pro-life hospitals must dispense abortifacients. Romney claims to have been personally pro-life. You know this throughout his whole tenure as governor, right? He said, I was always personally pro-life. Yet he claims on November 9th, 2004, he was converted to be pro-life.
Right.
So, and let me continue a couple other things. He says with his talk with Harvard researcher Douglas Melton on embryonic stem cells, that's how he got converted. However, this Dr. Melton disputes the talk. He said, we didn't have that discussion. And Romney supports killing the tiniest humans for research. So what is he talking about? I became pro-life talking about embryonic stem cells? Come on.
Right. Well, and, that makes about as much sense as, Ben Campbell told me one time that Ben Nighthorse Campbell, former senator from Colorado, that he became pro-life when he was, after he had voted against the ban on partial birth abortion, but then he had a broken leg from a motorcycle accident or something. He was sitting in the hospital, and that's when he really started to think about, well, what really happened then is that he became a Republican.
Right.
That's what he was really thinking about.
And then
found out that in the Republican Party, you can take that very minor step to say, I will be personally opposed to one very rare form of abortion, and that will get you political cover in the Republican Party.
From National Right to Life, they have been providing political cover for pro-abortion Republican candidates for 30 years.
Right. Well,
and that age is coming to an end.
That age is coming to an end. Never again will they be able to do that without without a firestorm of controversy coming from American Right to Life that will let that politician know that if they're out there promoting child-killing regulation, they are not on the pro-life side, and they do not have the full backing of the legitimate pro-life community.
Amen. You know what else Romney said? He came down on the side of life with all legislation. He signed a bill asking the federal government to start funding abortifacients. How's that? The federal government wasn't doing it. He asked them to do it. He appointed openly pro-abort Democrat Matt Nestor to a district court judge. He attended a fundraiser for Planned Parenthood. He told NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, you need someone like me in Washington. So Mitt Romney is a pro-abort, lying to get Christian votes, and it turns out that National Right to Life is helping him.
Well, sure, they're complicit in that because, as you pointed out earlier, they're playing both sides of this. They formally endorsed Fred Thompson, but their legal counsel is working for Mitt Romney. And
right.
So they figured going into this that one of those two would be the consensus conservative. Well, and I don't even know what that means anymore, but
yeah,
would be the consensus conservative. Well, as it pertains to Mitt Romney in particular, there's just one thing to remember. Not now, not ever. Mm. Never, ever, ever will the consensus conservative choice, at least with the backing of the legitimate pro-life community, be Mitt Romney. If he were by some stretch to be elected the Republican nominee, and first of all, he would lose the election because he's not going to have the conservative base or the legitimate Christian base behind him, mm-hmm. which is the legitimate base of the conservative movement. But never, mm-hmm. ever will this guy be acceptable, not only for his beliefs, mm-hmm. and they are many and varied, as we all know, but for his constant Bill Clinton-esque like lying. The guy thinks he can comb his hair and smile a lot and just lie and lie.
So,
and Clinton was a horrible liar.
Mm-hmm.
You could always tell that he was lying. Mm-hmm. Romney's exactly the same way. And people know that. And I mean, there are
right.
newspapers across the country now that are just making the statement. The problem with Mitt Romney is people don't like him.
As the president of American Right to Life Action, you guys have spent just this tiny sliver of a fraction compared to what Romney has spent trying to get himself elected. But there's been a tremendous amount of news coverage of your ads that are on the internet. They've run on Fox News and ABC and, hundreds of blogs and links on the internet to the ads. It'd be pretty exciting if you guys could play a significant role in taking down Mitt Romney.
Well, I think we are, because the thing about the truth is you don't have to spend millions and millions of dollars to convince people of the truth. It's one of those things that once you hear it, it resonates within you and you know it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of people out there that were thinking, well, maybe this guy, maybe I should follow Bob Jones, or maybe I should listen to Jim Bopp or any of these other evangelical leaders that say, there's really nothing wrong with Mitt Romney. Maybe he's an acceptable choice. Maybe I ought to give the guy a break. And then they're going to hear those ads that very meticulously detail not only, it's beyond flip-flopping. Mm-hmm. It's lying.
Oh, yeah.
It's just lying after lie after lie, and they're going to say, I'm going to think more about this. This is more like voting for Bill Clinton, and really, when you get down to his policies, they're very much the same.
Right.
But
right.
Do I really want to put myself and my nation through that again?
And Tom Tancredo endorses Romney of all things, a Massachusetts liberal. What is he going to do? Seal the border?
There's another one of those things that just makes absolutely
no sense
whatsoever.
Steve, let me continue with this U.S. News and World Report article on Colorado's personhood amendment effort. Support for similar personhood initiatives is swelling in Georgia, Mississippi, Wisconsin, Michigan, Montana, and Oregon, and 11 outright bans on abortion, similar to South Dakota's headline-grabbing measure in 2006, were introduced in state legislatures last year. Many are in conservative states where anti-abortion forces dominate, like Alabama, Mississippi, and the Dakotas. And all are designed to challenge Roe before the recently realigned Supreme Court. The bills could see action as state legislatures reconvene early this year. What we are seeing now, and here's a quote from a pro-abort with the Center for Reproductive Rights, what we are seeing now is not just the chipping away at protections of Roe v. Wade, but a full-scale attempt to recriminalize abortion. She's got that right.
Praise God.
It's the killing of children.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't it be criminalized?
Right. So this next section is titled Incremental Moves. Roe turns 35 this month, and according to a recent Gallup poll, it has support of 53% of Americans, but most also favor the types of incremental restrictions that have been won by anti-abortion groups led by National Right to Life. The government restricts funding of abortions. 31 states require counseling or a waiting period, while 44 states require parental notification for minors. And in 2003, Congress passed a partial birth abortion ban. All these things are saving lives, says David Osteen, executive director of National Right to Life. Well, James Dobson had a comment on that.
Well, and James Dobson has finally come around to the truth on that, that the ban on partial birth abortion does not save a single life. And we
He put that in his monthly newsletter after our first open letter to Dr. Dobson was published back in the summer of last year.
Right. And somehow, you know, National Right to Life and Focus still see fit to stay joined at the hip. But, you know, our job is to make it so uncomfortable to be yoked with anybody that is constantly lying and falsifying what they're doing. A National Right to Life, you know, just a minute ago you said something that just isn't it ironic that Roe is having its 35th birthday, but the 53 million dead babies will never see their original birth date? And it just tells you where we've gone in this country. And I'll tell you, we're not going to get back to the place where we have decency. I mean, this is just a matter of common decency. We're not going to get back to that point by trying to lie our way out of this. We're going to have to admit as a pro-life movement that we have been horribly wrong with our strategy and our tactic, and that it is absolutely essential that we do something completely different.
Absolutely. In fact, this article goes on to quote activists like Cal Zastro, that measures that simply regulate abortion are hardly worth celebrating. In a jab at National Right to Life, Zastro says, we didn't regulate Auschwitz, we abolished it. And then, Steve, I'd like to get here to a comment from Brian Rohrbaugh in this article. The frustration with the incremental gains championed by National Right to Life is perhaps most palpable in Colorado. The state chapter was kicked out last year, and this is, again, U.S. News and World Report. The state chapter was kicked out last year after sharply criticizing the national group's failure to back the growing push for abortion bans or initiatives that grant rights to fertilized eggs. They like to say it that way.
Sure,
They're human embryos, living the tiniest living humans. Brian Rohrbaugh, a former president of Colorado Right to Life, whose son was killed in the Columbine massacre, assails what he sees as the country's culture of death and calls the national organization one of the enemies of everything I do. The abortion restrictions today, quote, are not victories, Rohrbaugh says. These entrench abortion. If anything, they make it more palatable. And they do, like restrictions on late-term abortion or don't do partial birth abortion, just give a lethal injection. That kind of thing makes it look more reasonable.
Well, sure, because what you've said to people is, I'm not a kook way out there on the fringe that believes in killing babies in the process of birth. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm far from that. I believe only in the first 12 weeks or something.
Right. So Brian Rohrbaugh says these regulations make abortion more palatable. And National Right to Life's Osteen says that National Right to Life. And here's, by the way, the article has a picture of Joe Scott, a big picture on page 21 of U.S. News and World Report, standing on a ladder at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine, trying to get to the women who are going in to kill their kids. It's just a great picture. So Osteen says that National Right to Life believes Roe v. Wade should be overturned, but with this court, at least, they say that's unlikely. You know what they don't point out, Steve? They don't point out that there is a crisis in the federal judiciary where all of our judges are pro-choice. They all believe and the right to choose as long as you implement it correctly.
Yeah, this court that we built, this court that we supported, this court that we lobbied for, this court that we told you to get on the phone and tell your congressman to support and your senator to vote for, this court is the court that they're talking about that they don't feel is going to overturn Roe. And you know what? Frankly, at this point, what difference could it possibly make? Because all the bills that we also supported as affiliates of National Right to Life have now made abortion acceptable and legal at the state level and would be undeterred completely if Roe v. Wade were overturned.
Yeah, so you overturn Roe v. Wade and you have this web of hundreds of laws passed by National Right to Life that say abortion is illegal unless you sign this paper, unless you wait 24 hours, unless the clinic has a nice, you know, bathroom clean with antibacterial spray or whatever. And so all those laws keep abortion legal. They're misguided, immoral, and they have not thought through the immorality and the downside of all their efforts.
Well, and now they make these statements like, well, we don't think that we're there yet. And, you know, the obvious question is, how did we get to the point that we're at? After 35 years, how did we get here? And you tell them that what they've done is wrong. You know, they need to be humbled. Mm-hmm. And if they won't, if they can't find it within themselves, then it's going to have to come from outside. And that's why American Right to Life was formed. It would have been great had American Right to Life not needed to be formed.
Absolutely.
I know you don't need anything else to do. I know Brian Rohrbaugh, myself, none of us
that's
needs
right.
anything else on our plate.
That's
but it had,
right.
but it just absolutely had to happen.
Had to be done. Steve Curtis, thank you for joining me on Bob and Your Life.
My pleasure, Bob.
All right, so there's only a minute left. If you want to increase the social tension regarding abortion, I got a phone number you could call. You know, there's the effort to stop the building of Planned Parenthood's largest abortion facility right here in Denver, a 52,000 square foot abortion superstore. At, where is it, about Quebec and 38th. So there is a subcontractor working on that job, Legacy Mechanical. I'll give you their phone number, jot it down. But they said, hey, we're going to build this place. We don't care what they do there. So perhaps you could call them and ask them, please reconsider. You know, and maybe if 40 or 50 of you call, they might have a hard time getting their business done for the rest of the day. So here's the phone number. It's toll free, 877. 1-877-810-9262. That's 877-810-9262. That's Legacy Mechanical. And their legacy will be that the Collaborators Project has targeted them as building a facility to kill innocent children. That's not a good legacy for Legacy Mechanical. Hey, we are out of time, but Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada is just a great school. And kgov.com, that's our website, kgov.com.